You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Join alongside Tim live in Green Bay. We got Jacob on the Wisconsin-Minnesota border here to talk a little Packers this evening. Obviously, we had a press conference earlier today with the defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, as well as the offensive coordinator, Adam Stenovich. So we'll get into a little bit of what Coach Haf said. Really good comments there, and we'll kind of key in on the safety position this evening a little bit. Also, we got a question from our Patreon group asking about the linebackers in this new scheme, right, and kind of how they're going to fit. So we'll deep dive that just a touch, as well as kind of look at Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper, how they stack up physically with one another. And then we'll wrap this thing up with a little bit of UDFA talk, as Jacob's been deep diving some of these undrafted free agents today, and we got their RAS cards ready to go too. But before we get kicked off here officially, Tim, we have a good day today, bub.
Yes, sir. Opening boxes. Spent the afternoon opening some boxes.
did you get any surprises from that late night fiasco? Are you shopping around on eBay?
Surprise. I think I ordered two of the same thing.
I've never done that.
That's never happened. And no, I'm not sending one of them back. So we're just going to roll with it.
You never know, man, when you get on get too many daddy sodas in you and stain one up. You know what I'm saying? Then go to the secondary. So
my mailman had to back into my driveway today. We'll just put it that way.
Had the dolly and everything, didn't he? That's what I'm talking about. Jacob, how you doing, bub?
I'm doing all right. I had to sit in a lot of Minnesota traffic today, so I'm just getting sick of that. Getting sick of it real quick, tell you.
That Minnesota traffic slower than that backfield up there in Minneapolis too, right? You know what I'm saying?
All right,
let's do it. Let's just jump right into some Coach Hafley talk, if that's all right with you guys. I just grabbed a couple of sound bites that grabbed my attention. One being him talking about Xavier McKinney and the other being Javon Bullard. He had some really interesting things to say about linebacker as well. We'll talk about that here in just a second. Well, let's just go ahead and kind of kick this thing off with what he had to say about Xavier McKinney joining the Packers. And obviously this being the first year that both Coach Hafley and Xavier McKinney are going to be playing at Lambeau Field. But here was Coach Haf earlier today.
Jeff, when you envision the ideal safety for your defense, how close is Xavier McKinney to fitting that description?
You know, it's funny you guys asked me about that before we signed him, right? The last time I was here. I'll just say it's been so nice to have X. What a pro. I mean, how hard he works, the communication, the way he is in the meeting rooms, the way he looks out for the younger guys. I mean, that's the stuff you don't see. I mean, all the stuff I explained to you in my first meeting, yeah, we think he can do all those things. And he's shown that he can. But the coolest part about him is, and I told him this the other day, is you don't find out really about somebody and who they are and how hard they work until they get here. And that's been the thing that's made probably us the happiest. Great pro, great attitude, great effort. He's done a great job so far. So really excited to have him here, continue to have him grow in the scheme and really understand the scheme. And again, I think it's our job to put him in position to make a lot of things happen. So it's been fun to kind of see everything that he can do and how quickly he can learn. And I'm really glad we have him.
Well, yeah, I love what he had to say there too, Jacob, talking about Xavier. First of all, X got to be the coolest nickname on the team, right? Just that's what we're going to call him all year is X, right? Hearing him say, you know, he's kind of already being a leader and taking the young guys under his wing, that's really, really cool stuff there, man.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that we could play that whole 17-minute clip of the Packers because it is really interesting. It's not just one of those. He doesn't seem like the type of guy that gives coach answers, coach speak. He actually gives you – now, he doesn't tell you exactly what he wants to do or, you know, he doesn't – but he really does try to explain it in a way where he's giving you a good answer and not just kind of, yeah, fluffing you. So, yeah. And I really do. I like his mentality. You can tell that he's a player-first type of coach, that he wants to go in there and earn the respect. He doesn't want to be like buddy-buddy with him, but he has a healthy respect of knowing that, like, well, what's the Lombardi quote? Once you won the hearts of men or whatever, they'll go to hell and back kind of thing. Yep. I think that he actually sees that. He's a younger guy. He seems kind of a little more, I hate to say hip, but I think that does matter. You know what I mean? You got a guy like the old guy.
You trying to say Joe Barry wasn't hip?
I'm trying to say that I don't think he was invited to the barbecue, man. I don't think he was.
I don't think his friend, his fellow coaches showed up to his 52nd birthday party.
No, they didn't. But yeah, he just seems like I wanted to play for him. I think I sent you guys a clip, the YouTube snap, and I was like, this dude's getting me jacked up. Like I was at 4:30 in the afternoon. I was in my kitchen like, just go, man.
Yeah. Now he is. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And you talking about him being kind of a calmer presence. Now look at the assistants they hired. Right.
Yeah.
You got Campanelli, just fire on fire. You got Ansley, who's another one. It's just we played the whole mocked up. Remember that, Tim? He was just, I mean, a dude that was just absolutely cranked to level 11, man. And obviously Ansley was, if I understood correctly, was the lead recruiter that recruited Xavier McKinney at Alabama. So they got some ties there. Obviously, Miss Kay Adams unveiled that for us on the podcast, which she had X on there. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man, to see these guys come together because, again, the coaches are just freaking fire on fire. Then you got a guy, I've already forgot his name, but I'm just going to call him Coach O, big defensive line coach, right?
Ogabasi. Yeah,
Ogabasi. Dude, you imagine if anybody gets out of line, Halfley's just going to go, oh, would you step, take care of it.
Real quick, you know, I like what Coach Half said today about that too. He kind of said that he wants a defense that's playing confident, playing aggressive, getting after the ball, and not a bunch of guys worried about making a mistake. And I think that's very telling because, you know, it seemed like in the Barry system there were a lot of guys that were tentatively playing and they were concerned about making mistakes and grasping concepts. We broke that down in great detail when we talked about quarters concepts and, you know, if and then and things that guys needed to do. They weren't really playing with that confidence on defense like I think we're going to see with Halfley. And I think, like Jacob said, the fact that, you know, he's not the hard ass, he's not the enforcer guy, he's got enforcers, he's the guy that these players are going to come talk to on the defense. They got a DC who's probably got a door to the office that's always open, and you know, he wants guys that are going to play passionately for him and for this team and not worry about screwing up. You know, just get them prepared and go out there and do your thing, you know. And I love that approach. I really do.
Yeah definitely, man.
Did you guys by chance see too when somebody asked him, I don't remember how it got on the topic, they're like, what is your D-line, kind of how you change in that situation? And he said specifically, like, his main thing now is he tells the D-line in every play or whatever situation or drill they're doing is get to the quarterback. Like, that's what I want, your first and foremost, just get to the quarterback. And then it was more of like a let the linebackers read and react. And then it was the secondary, I want them playing smart but aggressive. And everything he kept peppering into, which I do feel like I'm not to toot my own horn, but he specifically said, he's like, you can tell by the guys we brought in free agency and through the draft that we're changing the dynamic. We want guys that play downhill and are not afraid to come and lay hits. And like Tim said, they're playing fast. And then he also said he wants to slowly implement not that much stuff. He says, I want to get really good at doing a few things really well. And then by the time we roll into the actual start of preseason and they start hitting, he thinks that he theoretically could get these guys really confident to go out there and play without having to rush too much into a playbook right away. I thought that was kind of cool.
And he's fully aware that there's not a lot of time. He made those comments today too, you know, in the little bit amount of time that we have to get install finished and then get these guys full on practicing and running things. And, you know, to your point too, Jacob, it was great. Like you said, he doesn't do a lot of coach speak with the media. And he was, I forgot who asked him, but one of the reporters asked him a pretty detailed question about utilizing, I think it was TJ Slayton they were talking about, being a 3-4 guy going to a 4-3. And Coach Halfley was like, well, you know, I'd love to talk to you for 35 minutes about, about the inner workings of the scheme, but I don't think people would appreciate it. So it just gives you some insight into him that he's like, he's a no-nonsense kind of coach in his own way, though. It's not your typical, you know, no-nonsense type of dude. He's a little more reserved, and, you know, he's one of those guys where it's like, I don't see too many people not liking him, you know? Right. Who's got a bad thing to say about Jeff Halfley, you know?
He's got a real subtle sense of humor, too. Like, you can tell he's not, like, a complete stiff. Like, he doesn't like – he's not a goofball by any means whatsoever, but you can tell you're like, this guy – you can have fun with this guy, but still you don't want to push the line too much because, you know, he'll bark at you kind of thing.
You know, he reminds me of Matt LaFleur.
Yeah,
the defensive version of Matt LaFleur is really cool.
That really is true.
What you were talking about, too, with them just getting after the quarterback, you know, rushing, playing the run to the quarterback and do it in a one-gap system. That's what one gap allows you to do, right? You just, all right, this is my gap. Penetrate that gap. Get to the quarterback. Keep your eyes in the backfield for the run along the way, right? That's going to be the majority of what they're doing there. I feel really comfortable saying outside of maybe a goal line situation, there will be 0-2-gap defense now. Last year, you still seen some one-gap defense on the front from the Packers. But this year, you're going to see I doubt you'll see any two-gap other than possibly in a goal line situation. So it's going to be exciting to see that.
He did say, though, in that little brief segment when he was talking about TJ Slayton, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, but I thought he said, he's like, I'm not afraid to line him up at a true nose. He's like, right. Well,
shade him. Said, or shade him inside on a guard.
Let him play an A-gap here or there. He's like, but we're not afraid to throw him at nose. He's like, he's a big dude. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Which is to Halfley's original press conference, right? When he talked about, you know, yeah, he wants to run things a certain way, but there's versatility built into this system.
Yep.
That if you think we're just going to press man and, you know, hyper aggressive all the time and you're never going to see zone, you're delusional, because we are going to see it, and we're going to see that line adjusting a lot, I think, this year.
Yeah, definitely. And you can still present a five-man front on a consistent basis if you want to. If he's going to go down the vein of like Robert Saleh's defense, Houston's defense, or San Francisco's defense, he's just going to try to rush for the majority of the time. But that's the thing, too. Everything's week to week. If you get a team that runs a lot of 21 personnel and they like to run between the tackles, then you're probably going to see him break out a five-man front. What I mean five-man front is maybe pop TJ Slayton in there at nose, like you're talking about, right? Playing him over the center, playing him in a one-gap or a one-tech, and then marching one of those linebackers on the line of scrimmage like your traditional Sam way back in the day. Now, it's going to be a little bit different approach as opposed to them following the tight end down the seam out of the Sam linebacker position. But I think that will be something that they definitely kind of bring to the table as far as the fronts go. And we'll get into the fronts here in a minute. We got a great question from one of the listeners in our PTA posse over on Patreon. And it's a really, really cool conversation we're going to have there for sure. Let's kick it over now to Javon Bullard. He was asked about Javon Bullard earlier today. And really cool just hearing him talk about the Rook. I feel really comfortable saying – Javon Bullard, it's his job to lose as that safety along with X, right? So here's what Coach Half had to say about Javon Bullard.
Part of the contingent that was recruiting him out of high school. I just wonder what you remember about him back then, just kind of the prospect that he, you know, became now.
Well, I recruited a lot of guys, so just loved his tape, loved the way he played, loved the play style, loved the versatility, He's a physical guy. He can run. He can cover. He can play deep. He can play in the slot. He can blitz. And he's bigger when you see him. You guys, have you seen him? Did you see him yet? He's thick, strong. And then the best part about it is, and I kind of said the same thing about X, is you don't really know what you're getting until you get in the meeting room with him. I mean, he's a sharp guy. I mean, his ability to learn and process in those 2 days was impressive. And you get a guy who can play that fast and, you know, can take what he learned in the meeting room and bring it out to the field, and he's got a chance. So, again, a small little glimpse of what we're, you know, going to get when they get here, but excited to have him. He's thick.
I'm excited, too. We got us a new drop, don't we, Tim? Hit it for him one more time.
Thick.
So anytime someone makes a comment about my weight, we're just going to hit that.
Thick.
Yeah, right, every time. So there you go.
Now, Javon, good work, Clayton. Clayton, you beat me to it, man. I was trying to get it clipped, and I'm glad I checked Twitter and saw you hooked it up. Good work, yeah, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
I got to give a shout out to Baz. You know, Basariski Productions, awesome YouTube channel, over 50,000 subs. Just great content creator. If you guys, I'm sure you're already following him. If you're not, definitely go give him a follow on Twitter and all that. Baz is the man. But
he's the one who's here too.
Yeah, definitely. he's the one who originally cut that. He gave me the idea because I posted that clip that I just played for you guys, and then he responded under it with a quick clip of thick. He's thick. He's thick. There you go. We got it. We'll be using that one all year long, so I'm excited about
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Our boss in the chat says, tell me this guy hasn't had his share of lung darts. Voice of an angel. Yeah, Javon Bullard.
You call me anything you want, but don't call me that.
I don't want to be told that I've got a voice of an angel. That's for sure. Not by another man anyway. So there you go. But with Javon Bullard, the thing that stood out to me was every time a coach speaks about Javon Bullard, whether it was at the college level, his last couple of years at Georgia, you know, anybody in the draft process, you heard, I think, Matt LaFleur mentioned it, or Brian Gutekunst mentioned it, I believe, during the draft process or right after the draft. And you heard Coach Haff say, highly intelligent kid. Like, that's everybody talks about how Javon Bullard is just extremely intelligent, which is really cool because you're going to need to be able to process information really quick, especially like we talk about where safeties have to play that dual approach. You got to be able to play in the box and up top, no matter whether you're technically in the free safety or the strong safety position. And keep in mind, guys, when we say free safety and strong safety, that was much more popular back in the 90s. And what it essentially meant was the free safety lined up on the field side, which typically meant the strong safety lined up over the tight end. That's why it was called strong safety. He's on the strong side of the formation. Now, field and boundary really doesn't matter in that regard. It was just the strong safety was going to line up over the tight end. Nowadays, you don't see guys mixing and matching much, right? They just kind of stay. They're either playing on the left side or the right side. And what they'll do is kind of, you know, like I said, take turns rotating down with the different play calls. And I love what Coach Haff said too, Jacob. We're going to come out and things – they're going to slowly ramp it up, right? Let's get good at doing the basic things, right? Greatest book ever written, one of my favorite, you know, lines in there is, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, right? If you go and you try to do too much too soon, you end up chasing your tail, man. You look like a rat on acid. You got to get the basics down, right? You got to get the basics down. And let's get really good at the fundamentals. Let's get really good at our base defense, right? When I say base, I don't mean a 4-3. I'm talking about basically out of the nickel as well. Let's get that cover 3 look down. Let's get that cover 1 look down. Let's get a couple exotic blitzes mixed in. Then you can start getting fancy with some of the sugaring and things like that. So I know you got to be excited about what Coach Haff said about Javon Bullard, though, Jake.
Yeah, I really am. He seemed weirdly confident, and I don't know if you guys saw this today. And chat, correct me if I'm incorrect here. Easton Butler, who is a pretty trusty follow, he said the Packers are releasing DN DeAndre Johnson, cornerback Anthony Johnson, so safety cornerback Anthony Johnson, and waived an injured Thyrick Pitts. And if Pitts doesn't get claimed, he reverts to IR. So if that's the case, I think that's a very clear sign that they do feel very comfortable that Bullard's going to be projecting to be opposite of X there. And we got depth with Oladapo and with Evan Williams there. And so I think that Jeff Hafley realizes that he's got a pretty awesome team to just walk into and start playing with. And he, like we talked, like you just said, he doesn't need to come in here and start reinventing the wheel and throwing in all these exotic, crazy nitro blitz packages. You know, he just needs to get these guys to gel together, to understand how to play together. I think his biggest attribute that I'm noticing, he reiterates over and over and over, he wants the guys to play fast and to not overthink things. So that means that he's going to try to make things as simple for his people to go out there and just play. So
he also talked a lot about attitude, the attitude of this team and the attitude of these players and their work ethic. You know, he talked about guys, you know, coming back next week, you all come back in shape. Don't slack off, come back ready to go. You know, I think that's a testament to what type of defense we're going to have, because, you know, if we have a defense full of guys that, you know, have the attitude and preparation and dedication of like Rashawn Gary, for example, I mean, we are going to be a force to be reckoned with on the defensive side of the ball. And it's a lot to look forward to in 24 for sure.
Definitely. And I see you highlighting those comments there, Jacob. Anthony Johnson, there was two Anthony Johnsons on the roster. That was a cornerback that was cut. So, you know, Anthony Johnson Jr. is still on the roster.
Man, y'all leave Ann alone, man. Come on now.
Yeah, I already lost my Jonathan Ford on the team. So we can't be losing Anthony Johnson Jr. All right,
we got to
stick with him. But, yeah, it's going to be really cool to see Javon Bullard.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kind of earnest keep. The other thing, too, man, is the way he plays fast, he plays physical. Those type of guys rarely get hurt. You know, it's the ones who are trying not to make a mistake. That's when you get hurt. You're trying not to be too physical. That's when you get hurt, right? You don't believe, I mean, everybody's been there. You've been young and stupid at some point in your life, right? Some people are probably still there. You know how it was, Tim. You get a few too many daddy sodas in you when you were young. You could fall off a cliff line, somehow survive it, right? Because you're not worried about it. But when you're bracing, right, when you're cautious, that's when things happen. Javon Bullard, I think he's one of those guys going to stay healthy, man. I'm telling you, when I watch his college tape, and again, I'm not afraid to put my neck out there, he reminds me of Nick Collins. That's who he reminds me of.
Thick.
Exactly. Thank you, Coach Hatt. He's kind of built. Didn't you agree that Nick Collins was kind of thick with two C's? Like, he wasn't a skinny dude, right? Extremely fast, but he wasn't skinny, right?
That's why we see a lot of this. Like we talked about Tariq Carpenter and some of these guys where it's like safety linebacker. It's like the body type is there to get in there and, you know, bang heads in the box if you need to. But then you got the high athleticism, the speed, the hands and the you know, coverage grade. And it's like, I can understand how sometimes it's hard to find a spot for some of these guys, but you know, Javon Bullard is just so versatile, man. You know, like he could probably play three or four positions on that defense. So I'm just really, really hyped. Not as hype as Jacob. Jacob's been on the hype train. Jacob invented the Javon Bullard hype train. So I'm almost as excited as Jacob for sure.
Absolutely. Prince in the chat said that's how the Roadrunner survived all those falls. He was out there on the sauce. That's what it was, right? So yeah. Let's see here. All right. He's not versatile. He's thick. Yeah, I like that. He's not versatile. He's thick. Chat's already out of control. Let's go to the chat real quick. You got a few of these marked from earlier. Let's just rattle through them real quick. Good stuff here. Greg says, will the Packers be any better this year at picking up a first down on third and one or fourth and one than they were last year? You know, I don't know what the statistics show of how effective they were on third or fourth and short. But I think they probably will be a little bit better because you're trying to fix that right guard position, right? You've got multiple candidates to possibly take over that right guard position. And again, that's one of the crucial, you know, factors when it comes to picking up those short down yardage situations there is at the right guard position for sure.
You got Josh Jacobs too. He's a little bit more of a battering ram than we're used to seeing.
And he's so patient the way he picks his spots. Like Aaron Jones was, get to the hole quick, make somebody miss, and get upfield. Yep. When you watch Josh Jacobs, it's just a little skip step, wait, patience, let the defense over pursue, hit the hole, right?
Yep.
M. Smitty in the chat says, evening PTA posse, liked a lot of what Hathley had to say today, in particular about the size and capabilities of our linebacker room. We're going to hit that here in a second. I love what he said to the media member, too. The media was like we talked about there, I think, offline, or maybe we already mentioned it here on the show. I'll mention it again. They were like, you know, are you worried about stopping the run with these 4-3 linebackers? And he's like, these are big linebackers. Like, what are we talking about? Like, Edgerrin Cooper,
thick.
Yeah, they're all thick. So you know, it's funny every time the media thinks they've got one up on the coaches, they just swat them away. You know, it's always the same people too. So anyway,
Tim, you know, a good drop when you see one because you can use it almost anywhere in the pod.
Yeah, it's gonna get. Used,
no, you guys about. Gave me the keys. Sorry.
I don't make the rules. I just break them. Dick in the chat says, I finally got off work at Home Depot in time to listen live. That's what. Please tell me you really work at Home Depot, Dick.
Dude, tell me wait, what? For real?
I don't think that's true. I hope it is.
I hope it's just enjoy that for a discount. Just for a second. Man, I'm telling you, dude. I wish we would, Mandy and I would have had our first dance.
I got to be careful. I can't listen to this in traffic or I'll get too jacked up. And
just speed ticket.
Rambling into people.
This is what the State Patrol listens to when they're chasing me.
When they're about to do a pit move, just turn it on.
We were talking about Xavier being called X. We're going to – Prince in the chat says we're going to call Oladapo HD.
HD.
For home I love people. It. Let's see. Dave's MX6 in the chat says – Wyatt is going to eat if he's just asked to rush the line. Yeah, and that's the thing, man. This should really unlock Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt. This type of scheme is built for Devontae Wyatt. The problem with Devontae Wyatt, though, last year was he was horrible at tackling. Like, he had so many missed tackles. There were so many times he got in the backfield. And I remember sitting here and throwing my ink pen down while I was charting the game. Like, he's got all the tools to make the guy in front of him whiff. And it's like when he gets to the ball carry, he's just – hopefully they fix that this year, right? Maybe Coach O can help with that a little bit. AFAM in the chat says, Tucker Kraft going to hold out unless they put a SIG vending machine. Can you imagine a Pall Mall vending machine down there in the locker room?
Yeah, it's got to be one that he walks up and he just punches and the SIG thing walks out and then he puts it in his sleeve.
I love it. Prince in the chat said, inside pass rush from Clark and Wyatt in new alignment, turn them loose. Absolutely. Going to be way more aggressive this year. With those front four, no doubt about it. Checking out, Gypsy Mike says, watching your coverage of Bullard, it looks like they'll be running a lot of modified Tampa 2 with a deep and midfield deep safety at the line. It looks like it'll be a Buddy Ryan type Jayhawk. It's an interesting take. I could see him mixing in some Tampa too. And like what you said, I think both you, both Tim and Jacob said here just a second ago, the people who are expecting him to just come out and be crazy aggressive, that's not how the NFL works. Yeah. Like the NFL, the majority of the time teams are playing zone coverage, right? And yeah, and that's exactly what Tampa 2 is, right? So I agree with what you're saying there, man. I could see that potentially being the case.
I think we will see.
We're just going to go all of a sudden 80% man coverage. It's just not a thing in the NFL.
Go ahead, Tim. But I think that we'll see more middle field close, though, for sure, than we've probably seen in recent memory, which will, you know, masquerade itself as more aggression. Yeah, man, I don't think I'll tell you what. One thing this defense is not going to be is predictable. Right. I think that's by design. And I'm looking forward to seeing this all come together.
Yeah. John in the chat said Greenlaw and Fred Warner are both 229 pounds. No one talks about them being small. Coop is 230. Quay is 240. It's plenty of size. Like I said, they're both of those guys are fit perfect to they both can play Mike. What we notice with the Jets, and I think it's Quincy Williams, I believe it is, Quentin Williams' brother that played really good Will Backer for the Jets this year. And what we're expecting or projecting to be a similar scheme. He was much smaller than that, right? So it's all about fat, being fast and getting to the ball and bringing the ball carrier down. That's the thing. You can have a 250-pound linebacker, but if he sucks at tackling the ball carrier, it doesn't matter, right? Yep. Prince in the chat said Hopper 230 pounds as well. I think McDuffie is 227. Yeah, so there you go. Since we were kind of talking about the linebacker, let's go ahead and get to our question from the PTA posse here. Ron Sandville. Over in our Patreon group. And if you guys are interested in joining our Patreon group, let me go ahead and promote this before I forget. We're going to be giving away this Thursday night on the schedule release show. We're going to be giving away an autographed football. Okay. It's autographed by the Golden Boy, Paul Hornung, Hall of Fame running back from the Vince Lombardi era, former Heisman Trophy winner at the great Notre Dame. At the time, I think they won 3 games, so they weren't so great back then, but that's all right. But again, Paul Hornung, obviously, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best to ever do it in Green Bay. Football autographed by him, donated by Jacob's dad. That's right, Jacob. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I bought it for him like 3 years ago, and then now he just said, I'm not going to do anything with it. I was like, love you too, Dad.
Glad you enjoyed it. So we're going to be giving that away. We got some other giveaways coming up too. And the reason I mentioned that with Patreon, what we do is anyone who is a member of one of the three tiers on our Patreon group, we like to just kind of give back for you guys supporting the stream. So we're going to put everybody's name on that wheel this Thursday night, and we're going to spin it live on the air and give away that autographed Paul Hornung football. So make sure that if you're interested in that, you're a Patreon member by midnight tomorrow to give us time, or midnight Wednesday night to give us time to put everybody on that wheel. So again, it's just a way for us to give back. We appreciate y'all supporting us. But this comes in from Ron Sandville in the Patreon group. Another cool thing about being in the Patreon group is we have awesome conversations like this in there. I'll ask poll questions. We'll implement that on the show. And this is just kind of a more direct line to us as hosts there in Patreon. Really cool. So Ron Sandville says, Clayton, I have a question on the Mike linebacker responsibilities and play style differences between last year and what's expected this year. Would Quay benefit this year and be able to improve his play if he does end up the mock? So I think the best way to explain this, and I kind of shared this in the Patreon group earlier, this is the description of the Robert Saleh version of the Pete Carroll defense, okay? And this kind of explains all the responsibilities all the way across the board in this defense. All right, so first of all, let's talk about the three alignments. 4-3 over. Okay, it's a standard look with three linebackers behind a four-man front that is shifted into the strong side gaps of the offensive line. So when you play 4-3 over, it means your four defensive linemen are shaded to the tight end side, the strong side, okay, meaning it's over the strong side. The 4-3 under is a pass-rushing front that brings the strong side Sam, right, Sam linebacker, up to the line of scrimmage on the shoulder of the tight end alongside a defensive end. That's what we were just talking about with maybe some exotic five-man front looks. You'll be bringing the Sam up there if you're in your base 4-3 defense. We all know we're going to be a nickel, probably nickel 4-2-5, probably 75 to 80% of the time. But in the 4-3 under, they are shaded under, right, to the weak side. So you bring the Sam up to the line of scrimmage typically, and you've got the defensive line shaded to the weak side. Therefore, they are under the strong side, okay? 4-3 bear is a run heavy formation, kind of one of those exotic looks that sometimes calls up two linebackers into the edge of the defensive front, bringing up the strong safety alongside the remaining linebacker. When your safety's kind of playing in the box like that with a 4-3 bear look, that's what we refer to as a spur safety. That's more of a college term, but that's what we're talking about when a safety is playing spur. Okay. Now, more specifically here, the positional breakdowns follow these guidelines. So this is what Rahm is asking. The Mike linebacker, middle linebacker slash captain of the unit, and gap destroyer against the run key. Read defender, both pre-snap and at the heart of zone coverages. So your Mike is kind of the brains of the operation, and he's got to be able to destroy gaps. And what did we see with the Edgerrin Cooper tape, right? How many times was he right there in that A and B gap? That start, stop, shoot, right? He was constantly destroying gaps there in the inside running game.
That's what she said.
Michael. That's absolutely horrible, Tim. That's so bad. Oh, my God. Sam Backer is – go ahead. I'm sorry.
Don't know nothing.
All right, I'll try to keep this on the rails. The Sam Backer is a strong side linebacker that usually matches up with the tight end in the passing game or the, quote, deep hook zone, a signed gap defender against the run that may also blitz on occasion. What you're hearing, both Edgerrin Cooper and Quake could play Sam, right? You're also hearing they could both probably play Mike. There may be times they mix and match in that regard, but again, they're going to try to keep things simple like Coach Half was saying coming out of the gate. The Will Backer, the most athletic player in this group, is generally the weak side linebacker known for his elite open field tackling on cutbacks and his zone coverage ability in the flats. Who matched A.J. Hawk's rookie tackle record in Green Bay? It was Quay Walker. Which one is the more athletic linebacker? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to the RAS card. So if you look at the RAS card here, Quay Walker scored a 9.63 when he was coming out in the draft. Okay. Edgerrin Cooper scored a 9.12. Now, they're a little bit different here, okay? So, you got Edgerrin Cooper coming in at 6'2", 230, okay? Obviously, a little lighter there. Quay Walker, 6'3", 240. So, in my opinion, Quay is a little more well-built to play Mike or Sam. Now, here's the thing. If you're in a nickel, there is no Sam. You've got Mike and you got Will. I think Quay is more equipped to play Mike. That's just me personally. All the signs point to Quay being the Mike. He's got more size. He's a little more of a gap destroyer, I think, from a sense of his quickness. Obviously, the 40-yard dash, 4.52. 20-yard split was 2.64. The 10-yard split was a 1.59. Just excellent quickness there. His three cone, 6.89. Got that great start-stop ability as well. Got plenty of burst there with the broad jump too. Now the vertical was only 32 inches, but again, once you get to the NFL and these strength and conditioning coaches get a hold of you, things change really, really quickly. So with Edgerrin Cooper, what sticks out with him? Definitely the 40-yard dash with the 4.51, the 20-yard split, 2.64, the 10-yard split, 1.56. So if it were me just going off of these RAS composite grades, I would rather see Quay Walker at the Mike and Edgerrin Cooper at the Will. That's just me personally. Now, when McDuffie is in, though, don't be surprised if he's kind of in the Mike spot, even though he's not wearing the green dot, because all the depth charts are projecting McDuffie to be more of a Mike than a Sam or a Will. So when you're in the 4-3 base, what we might see is McDuffie in the middle, or who knows, Tyron Hopper. That could potentially be the case, too. And then have Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper playing the Will and the Sam. That's really exciting, because when you talk about the more athletic player here, it just depends on what your preference is, right? Because with Quay, he's pretty much got more athleticism across the board than Edgerrin Cooper, other than that 40-yard dash, right? That's the only thing. And what is it, a hundredth of a second? So not that big of a difference, obviously. So that's kind of how I see that. How do you guys see that shaping up? Who do you think will be the Mike? Who do you think will be the Will when it comes to Quay and Edgerrin Cooper, just specifically in the nickel defense?
Jacob, I'll take it. I'm still of the belief that it's going to be Quay until proven otherwise. It's kind of like they were saying with Jordan Morgan, like, hey, we're gonna try him at left tackle. You know, it's like, okay, well, I think they're gonna try Quay at the Mike, and then as things progress, if other people emerge that can play that spot, obviously, I agree with you, Clayton. I like the scenario with Coop and Quay playing on the Mike and Will, or playing the Sam and the Will, and then, you know, maybe it's Zay McDuffie, maybe it is Tyron Hopper, maybe it's someone who's not even on this roster right now. But if we find a bona fide Mike linebacker in this scheme, in this defense, and we got Quay and Cooper on the outside, man, it's going to be, I think that's going to be our best foot forward. I really do.
Yeah. And that's the thing that we're going to be looking for right out of the gate, Jacob, when they get into camp and things start to get a little more serious. When you get to the second or third phase, the second or third install before training camp, you're probably going to hear some of the media members talk about, yeah, so-and-so was lined up at Mike, so-and-so was lined up at Will. Hopefully they'll give us that information, because that's the important
stuff. We haven't talked about Eric Wilson either. You know, yeah. I kind of see him as, like, am I wrong? Is he kind of, he could play the mic.
He was the highest graded linebacker last year, man.
I was going to say, Tim, the one thing that Halfley, he did two things that made me take notice, kind of how he's explaining it. He mentioned that the guys that had been there, Quay, McDuffie, and Wilson, he specifically said, like, these guys have made strides, they've made steps, I like what they've done, I've seen what they can do. And I really do think there is something around the fact that he likes Quay on the edge. He made a specific, he's like, Quay's a great blitzer off the edge. Like, maybe we can find ways to put him in that position thing.
That screams Will right there.
I was going to say either that, or like, I would honestly love, I could see McDuffie being a sneaky defender, or a sneaky guy that could slip into that mic spot, because he's very football savvy. I think he's football smart. People forget he played at Boston College. Maybe there's some connection there at some point, or at least coaches that have coached him know that he can do this or that.
And then you have some depth behind him with Wilson and Hopper.
Exactly. And you could have our two, that's, to me, either Sam or Will kind of seem exchangeable then between Cooper and Quay, because they are just athletic freaks and it would be amazing to watch. So
it's kind of like O-line, right? Best five we want to put out there. It's like, well, you want your best three.
And Hopper, we're sleeping on Hopper. He was apparently taking majority mic snaps. It's the rookie, you know, trial, but whatever. I really do think, and M. Smitty too. He did highlight the fact that he liked how Quake and blitz from the interior as well and doing stunts. So
yep.
I think we might have a chess match on our hand. And I don't think it's just coach speak that they're going to try guys here and there. And it's not like this is day one and two of a rookie minicamp. Like, we have a lot of time where they're going to start plugging and playing different positions and seeing where the best fit is. And by the start of the year, I think we're going to have a really solid core with some good depth, like Tim said.
Definitely. AFM in the chat says Jacob Beard had a similar injury to Greenlaw sprinting to the hotel buffet line.
No, I stretch out for the buffet, bro. Come on.
I am thick.
So appreciate that, AFM. Thank you for teeing that up, buddy. Let's see. Matthew Clark in the chat says, good evening, Clayton. Best wishes from England. There we go, across the pond. He said, do you think Bullard will start as safety or be a nickel corner competition for Nixon? It's a great question. I think the answer to that lies in how quickly does Oladapo and or Evan Williams pick up the defense. If they feel comfortable that they could play them at strong safety while kicking Javon Bullard to the slot, then I'm cool with it, right? Now, if those guys struggle to pick up the playbook, they struggle to kind of get acclimated that quick. Because the thing we got to put into perspective too, I think it's going to be a good draft class. I really like the way the draft fell, but the rookies, some guys, it's not going to click right off the bat, right? So that's the only thing that at the end of the day, they got to make a decision and go, okay, do we trust two safeties on the field as DBs, one being in the slot and Bullard, and Evan Williams or Oladapo?
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Also known as Ola Home Depot at the strong safety position. if you don't trust that, then you probably like Nixon in the slot and Javon Bullard at strong safety. I'm leaning toward Nixon in the slot, Javon Bullard at strong safety right now. But we may get into camp. We might get into camp and go, hey, Oladapo's the real deal, right? Let's hope that happens because we'll be playing.
Can I slide in Debbie Downer real quick?
Yeah, man.
So I think we're sleeping on the fact that Oladapo, it sounds like he's maybe going to be lucky to be in pads by the time like actual training camp starts. That's a massive, massive step back. We saw it with the Bows. Saw it with a lot of guys. If they're not healthy there, it's just, it doesn't look, not saying we're not going to have him on the team, because I guarantee he's going to make the team. I just think
he's no doubt
for that.
You know what, though? Devil's advocate, it's better than what Bo Melton had to deal with last year.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I mean, Bo made it clean, almost clean through camp, ready to earn a spot, and then got hurt, you know. And so I don't know. I almost like this scenario better. At least, you know, Oladipo's got time to rehab this thing and, you know, hopefully, you know, ease into the season. But it's a good point, Jacob. Like, we, like, right now we have to basically count them out.
Yeah, just not really in the mix. The time being. And by the way, Donald, I know it's a joke. Thanks for pointing it out.
Donald.
Awesome.
British from UK, not Australia.
Jacob, let's hear your best worst British accent.
You sound like you're from London.
You know, I love how he
that was bloody horrible.
I love how he had his neck look like he was in a brace. He wasn't allowed to move his neck as he's and he just
dude, that's from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, maybe the funniest movie of all time. When Paul Rudd is trying to help Russell Brand and he's like, excuse me, Mr. Hotel Man, I've lost a lot of blood. Can you please call someone? And he goes, you sound like you're from London.
And just like that, we lost Matthew Clark. He's like, all right, I'm just gonna go ahead and unsub. These guys are knuckleheads. Sorry, I apologize for them, Matthew. But I got to get over to England. I trace the Bailey side of my family back to when they first came over to the country in the 1600s, all the way back to, I think it's Yorkshire, England. So I'd like to go over there and kind of trace some of those roots. I think it'd be cool, man, and have some fish and chips and hang out over there in a pub. Man, I've always just wanted to go to an English and a Scottish pub. That's on the bucket list for sure. So obviously that's not in Australia, Jacob, but I know you knew that, man. I'm just kidding. So let's see here. We got checking out in the chat says in the nickel, they'll be able to more easily hide who's the Mike, won't they? They'll have such good athletic players, they can change who the Mike is to hide blitzes, or am I wrong? Absolutely. Now, some people will say, no, the Mike wears the green dot. We got you. Slow down. Quay's going to be wearing the green dot, I would imagine, right? Just because he's wearing a green dot doesn't mean he has to play Mike every single snap, right? They're going to mix and match some of that in there too. And when we say Mike, what it simply means is there may be on occasion a matchup from week to week. Like if you're playing, let's say, the Detroit Lions, and they like the way that Quay would match up, or let's say they like the way that Edgerrin Cooper would match up on Sam Laporta. And even though Quay's wearing the green dot, there may be specific formations where they're tipped off and go, okay, when they go to a Trey Wright set with a nasty split opposite of the Trey side, then they may go, you know what, on those sets, let's put Coop on Sam Laporta. Therefore, if he's on the strong side of the formation in a nickel 4-2-5, he's technically not the Mike, right? So, I think what you're saying there is correct, checking out. They'll be able to mix and match that stuff in. Again, it's not just all set in stone as far as who's going to play the mic day in and day out, you know, play in and play out, that type of thing. But again, it all comes down to technicality in that regard, but it is important to understand what those positions mean and what they're traditionally designed to do in a scheme, you know, in the game of football. So, and I'm still learning this stuff too. So you guys have helped me along the way as well. We're all kind of learning together because let's just face it that, you know, ever since whatever it was it 2007 when Dom Capers brought the 34 defense in? So, you know, it's been a long time since I've studied the 4-3 defense. So I'm excited about kind of getting brushed up on that for sure. So let's see here. Jacob, we're running out of time. We need to get some UDFAs, don't we, Bub?
Yeah, it won't take too long. We can try to breeze through. We can just do two or three, and mm-hmm. I don't need to go through all of them.
Cool. Last comment here before we get to it. Antonio Universe says the pack might run some Tampa 2 where the Mike drops back almost like middle field safety. Who would play Mike those type of plays? For me, I would rather it be Quay, 1 inch taller and just as quick, actually a little more athletic than Andrew Cooper. And again, when you're asked, when we watch the tape, not one time did I see Andrew. I'm sure he did, but we got the positive play cut up. I didn't see him playing Tampa 2 down the seam. We've seen Quay drop deep, right? So I think I would rather that responsibility go to Quay as right now. So, all right, let's get to it. The UDFAs. Appreciate everybody in the chat, man. That was a fun conversation. And thank you to Ron Samville over there in the Patreon group. Appreciate you asking that question earlier today, man. That's good content. So, Jacob, let's jump right into it, man. I think you sent me five cards, right? RAS cards. So let's just go right down the line. Who you want to talk about first, man?
Yeah, let's breeze through this real quick, and it should be more than enough time. We should be good here. Just, I want to highlight, this is a conglomeration of info from PFF, from NFL Draft Buzz, from an Athletic article, and just random like Spot Track and stuff like that. I want to highlight real quick that the Green Bay Packers have kept an undrafted rookie on their initial 53-man roster every season since 2005, which it doesn't feel like that's, you know, when I started looking into the UDFAs, I'm like, it's kind of a boring segment, but it's really not, because it accounts for a solid member of our team every year. Last season, it was outside linebacker Brenton Cox Jr. You guys know that I'm a fan of Mr. Jr. And also Malik Heath, who may be my favorite UDFA that I've ever seen in my life. I just love his attitude. I still think that is a dog that could be in the making, that could make this team at some point and really be. We forget some of the possessional receptions he had last year. There was a touchdown where he grabbed one and really was strong with the ball. So anyways, it's fun to see who's going to make that list. My first guy I want to highlight is not a flashy one whatsoever, but the realistic thing is he could make the team, and that's Peter Bowden. That's a long snapper out of Wisconsin. Basically, the article says long snappers should remain anonymous. That being said, now last year and the year before, we have too much information as to who our special teams guys are, because we've been screwing up a little bit here, right? It goes on to say that he was handling all the kicking, all the snaps for all the kicks in Wisconsin in 2022 and 2023. He was a finalist last year for the Patrick Manley Award, which is given to the best long snapper in college. So if you want to look at his, I mean, he's got decent, he's a long snapper. We don't need him to do much more than snap. So if they don't have a score on here that clearly shows his long snapping ability, you know, I don't really care about it. That being said, a 6.72 RAS is not horrible. So yeah, that's just some guy we should keep in mind there. He's going against Matt Orzech, who I didn't realize was a Super Bowl champion with the Rams and a six-year veteran. So it's odd to me that we had such an issue with that last year still. The next guy I want to highlight is actually somebody that I believe Clayton highlighted before anyone else, was Donovan Jennings, the left tackle out of Southern Florida. He had a pretty decent RAS showing there of an 8.93. You can look at that. His 40-yard dash for being a pretty decent big man, 323, 6'4", benching 28 reps. I mean, that's a big dude. His three cones very well, too. He's now 24. He started 45 games at left tackle for the Bulls over six seasons. He started all 10 games he played at left tackle last season. Florida went from, in the last 3 years, 1-11, 7-6, and now they ended up being a really decent team, winning a 45-0 bowl game against Syracuse, where Dame Brugler of the Freak Athletic, he says that Jennings displays enough foot quickness and hip flexibility and pass protection, but he must refine his hand placement to establish leverage and strengthen his anchor to make up for some of his lacking in other aspects. But I think that this coaching squad, with that much, this is a great prospect to sign. I think that could be a lot of real great depth this year and possibly slide into some sort of starting role or at least a contributing role in the next 2 or 3 years. So
if I remember correctly too, Donovan Jennings, I think, was a top 30 visit, and he actually landed 218 on my big board. To put that into perspective, he was ranked higher on my big board than the 91st overall pick, linebacker Tyron Hopper. Now, I'm not saying Tyron Hopper isn't worthy of the 91st pick. I'm simply saying we had a higher grade on Donovan Jennings than him. The Packers did a top 30 visit. The fact that they were able to nab him as an undrafted free agent, pretty impressive, man. Obviously, Goody had Tyron Hopper way higher than we did, and we're always going to lean toward Goody's board over us knuckleheads, that's for sure. But, yeah, Donovan Jennings is an exciting prospect. Someone that I think they've been playing him at guard, too, in minicamp, Jacob, if I understood correctly. So, might be a potential – a potential option there at right guard, too. They're going to have all kinds of competition, that's for sure. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm not sure how RAS works, but I'm pretty sure if this is him he's pretty much been a true left tackle. So if he were to kick in a guard, I'd have to imagine his RAS climbs up even a little bit more
through the roof. Yeah.
And then real quick, this is one I wanted to get to. So checking out Gypsy Mike here said Hicks. I believe it's Judge. Is it Julian Hicks?
Or yeah, Julian Hicks.
Julian Hicks, Albany.
Yeah. Yeah. So I didn't. I couldn't find enough stuff on him, and I didn't want to force it. So I just said I'll check him out at a different time. But when I've read two, he's kind of like a. Yeah, he's a dog for sure. So I'm excited to see him. We could pull up his RAS. If you guys actually in the chat want to do that while we're talking over the next one. And this is my favorite. You guys, no surprise. His name is Raylan Goforth. He's a linebacker from Washington. He's got his
go forth and smack somebody in the mouth, sir. Yeah, right.
His RAS score is a 7.81. His beard and look scale is a 10 flat. I'm telling you. Goforth played for USC and Washington, starting 17 games for the former and playing 15 contests for the latter, and wrote to a national title game appearance last season. He registered 4 tackles for loss, 2 passes defensed, a fumble recovery for the Huskies. The odds are stacked against Goforth to make the 53. He must outperform 4 linebackers returning from last season's 53, being obviously Quay Walker, McDuffie Wilson, and Christian Welch, who's kind of been under the under the radar there, as well as rookie 2, Adrian Cooper and Tyron Hopper, as we just talked about. I think it's intriguing. The guy's flashes some ability. I don't know. It's not realistic that he may make the team, but if he does, it's going to be definitely in a special teams type role, or as they call it, we fence, which I still hate much as I love everything they do. Ball. I hate we fence so corn much. Ball.
We got Hicks RAS real quick. 9.18.
I'm sold.
Hey, me and Emilio watched some of his tape before he left when he was up here for the draft. That's some really good stuff on film, man.
He's a physical receiver, if I remember correct, right? Real physical dude. Yep.
Possession.
And we were cracking up because every play was just him going deep and them chucking it up to him. It was just like, he's the best player on the field for us. Smaller school, obviously. Just go to the end zone. I'll throw it up to you. You go up and grab it.
So. One real quick, and then, this will be about perfect. Messiah Swenson, tight end out of Arizona State. There was another guy out of Arizona State, I believe. Maybe it was Arizona. It was Tanner McLaughlin. So Arizona State, however, this guy is basically Mercedes Lewis reincarnate. I shouldn't say that because Mercedes Lewis was a little bit more of an athlete. This guy is 6'8", massive. He's 260 pounds. He's not very good at anything, but he can block just because of the pure amount of physical – just beef that he retains. I would see him maybe being a tight end 4 and just to do like that. That true inline tight end that really doesn't do much but block and maybe will cheat out every now and then in a blue moon to rise the offense and the fact that he can run. Oh my God. I don't think that he's going to actually be on this team, but if he did, that's the comp that they gave him was Mercedes Lewis. He's definitely...
Wait a minute. What was Big Dog's RAS? It had to be higher than a 1.5.
I'm sure it was actually like quite good because he moved pretty gracefully for being a big man. I don't want to.
Maybe they just like this guy because he's
thick. Yes. Tim. The other guy, real quick, and then we can finish this up, was Trent Jones, and I don't know if it's Trent or Trentee because I've never seen the spelling like that. I don't know.
Hey, just quickly, I'm sorry, Jacob. Big Dog Mercedes Lewis's RAS was an 8.32.
Okay, wow. Okay, all right, never mind. They literally just compared him because he's 6'8".
Yeah,
Big Dog was around that.
That's why. Oh my God, that's not even close. Why?
Calm down, Tim.
Stay
thick. Hey, that was the Athletic article, to be fair. That wasn't my
intention.
Yeah.
You had to pay to read that comparison?
I signed up under a email address.
What is it, like $1 a month, Jacob? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like 30 cents or something. I'm not paying.
Did a nickel for me.
Yeah, I did a free trial. So either way, Trente or Trent Jones here, I like this potential maybe more than a lot of them. Anybody that played for the national title, anybody that played on Jim Harbaugh's offense, anybody that played with that offensive line, I think he's worth a shot. He was a little bit up and down in his career. He kind of didn't get a lot of chance to play because they were just everybody else is so good. And he had some, struggles here and there. I really do think that he has potential, and especially as a UDFA, like why not take him in and see if we can sneak him into the practice squad at least, if not maybe keep him for some back-end talent. To get to the point of it all, an NFL draft buzz, which I really do like, I think a lot more than a lot of these sites, because they seem to go way deeper and dive a little deeper into these prospects, because I found most of this information from them, nothing from PFF, basically. So it says, the last summary is, overall, Trent Jones' draft profile is that of a prospect with decent upside, but a developmental prospect. Teams looking for a versatile lineman who can grow into a more prominent role may find value in his adaptable skill set. So I think that screams exactly what we need at, you know, from that position as well.
Definitely. Hey, we got a herd of people in here. If you guys would hit that like button for us, that'll help boost the algorithm, help other Packer fans find this channel, find this content. We really appreciate y'all hanging out with us this evening. Getting ready to wrap up here in a second. Just take a second, though, and hit that like button. We would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Jacob, that was good stuff, man. That was a good little deep dive there. And like you said, would you say on average one of these guys make the roster pretty much every year? Is that right?
Since 2005, so it's not on average. That's almost 20 years.
Yeah, so it's going to be.
W was president.
That's a long time. Fool me once, shame on.
Dude.
Fool me once, you can't fool me again. All right. Guys, we did good. 57-minute mark. Congratulations. You guys did great. That was a lot of fun. We're going to get to a fifth-year option, kind of breakdown, talking about all the fifth-year options across the league and kind of see who met the criteria to get that option bonus and who didn't. Obviously, we chose as the Packers to decline Eric Stokes's. So we may get to that tomorrow along with some other good stuff. I think tomorrow too is Tuesday. So we are going to do Marshawn Lloyd chalk talk tomorrow. All right.
Yes.
It is going to be a lot of fun.
I'm not going to be able to make it tomorrow night. So,
for real?
It would have to be one of those weird car things for like 10 minutes. But.
Gotcha. What about Wednesday? Can you make it Wednesday?
I believe I will be able to make it Wednesday.
Okay. Tim, are you okay if we hold Marshawn Lloyd chalk talk till Wednesday?
Absolutely. Let's do it. I want Jacob to be there. Yeah.
So, hey, real quick, what is your guys' opinion here? William, who was it? Oh, Drew D saying long snapper might keep that streak alive. So out of those guys, was there a certain prospect that you thought would be more prevalent to actually make the team? We didn't even go through that.
Yeah, for me, it's hands down Donovan Jennings. That's who I think will make the team. But long snapper, like you said, man, the fact that he was, I mean, essentially what that award means is he was the best long snapper in all of college football, right? So that's nothing.
He was a finalist. I don't think he won. He was a finalist.
Oh, he did? Okay.
One of the top, you know, five or whatever.
Yeah, four or five. Okay, gotcha. So still, I mean, you're the top five of long snappers in the entire all of college football, however many Division I schools there are now. That's pretty impressive. But, yeah, for me it would be Donovan Jennings. I think second would be if we hadn't signed or if we hadn't drafted Marshawn Lloyd, I would say Jarvion Howard had a legit shot. But seeing that the running back room is pretty well stacked, I think Donovan Jennings or Trent Jones would be my picks there. So, yeah. Tim, who would your guess be, Bob? Anybody?
I agree with you on Jennings, but I would go long snapper. Just because, you know, like we said, Orsage is a vet, but, you know, we have a youth movement going on here. And I think long snapper might be something that they're thinking about bringing some guys in to see if they can compete and maybe get that job and then keep it for a while. So, you know, we brought Orsich in, was that last year or the year before?
Yep. Last 2 years ago, I think it was.
2 years?
Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm there. But, yeah, I mean, Julian Hicks, the wideout from Albany, looks good. Good guy from a small school. Not going to make this team. not with this receiver room we have. So
one last thing real quick. Have you guys heard anything? I heard LaFleur finally talk about Henry Pearson, how he's came back. He looks better. Pilot Jaguar is gone. There's no standalone fullback barely anywhere in the NFL anymore. And there's no hybrid fullback necessarily on this team right now. Do you see him sneaking in there some way or maybe taking?
Are the Niners the only team that has a true fullback?
That's what I was thinking. Maybe did the Ravens have an actual true fullback still?
What it comes down to for me is, you know, I don't like the idea of keeping four tight ends and a fullback. So it kind of feels like and they may do it. They may deem it that important. But with your tight end room, you got Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, they're shoe-ins, obviously. Ben Sims, I think, is pretty much a slam dunk. We know Matt LaFleur loves Tyler Davis, right? And Tyler Davis is now healthy. So look at Henry Pierce. What it's essentially going to come down to, in my opinion, I could be wrong here, they may carry all five, but I think it's going to be either Tyler Davis or Henry Pearson. Now, if you go the route of Henry Pearson being on the practice squad, then you can elevate him three times next year if you want to get into a situation. And the reason it's going to be important to have Henry Pearson on the team occasionally is when you play a team where you want to run a lot of 21 personnel, a lot of 12 personnel, right? When we say 12 personnel, because Henry Pearson can line up on the wing as well, although it would technically be 21 because he's on the depth chart as a fullback. But we've seen, obviously, last year, midway through the season, Josiah DeGuara was listed as fullback all year. Then midway through the season, they all of a sudden switch him to tight end on the depth chart. And it's like, okay, so now you got to refer to it as 12 personnel as opposed to 21, although they use them on the wing very similarly. So, yeah. Good stuff, though, man. That was a fun conversation. Tim, you got anything else, Bubba?
No, just thanks to Jacob for breaking down those UDFAs. That was cool. Absolutely. That was really good info.
Yeah. And checking out in the chat says, as other teams cut some O-line and D-line players, I won't be surprised if we get some more bodies in for preseason as we see what needs improvement. The other thing we can't rule out, too, is Goody always seems to fall in love with a player that gets cut from another team on those final cutdowns, right? And he ends up on the active roster. That's how we found, obviously, Rudy Ford there for a couple of years. He was one of those guys that got axed as the final 53 cut and ended up staying on the roster for, like I said, 2 years. So you're probably going to have someone like that sneak in too. So good stuff, Jacob. Like Tim said, man, thank you for taking the time to break that down, buddy. Appreciate it. It's always good to keep a finger on the pulse there, especially like you said, forever they've always kept one undrafted free agent. So that's something we need to kind of keep an eye on. So I want to give a special shout out to Ron Sandwell one more time. Appreciate you, buddy, with the question over there in the Patreon group. And again, if you guys would hit that like button for us here on YouTube. If you're watching on Twitter, feel free to click on my profile. You'll see the YouTube link there where you can hop over to YouTube, subscribe to the channel, a little bit easier for you to communicate in the comments on YouTube and kind of keep up with us going live. We're going live pretty much every day. On occasions, we'll go live twice a day. Good Morning Lambo got great feedback from it over the weekend. It got a ton of play. Everybody loved it. So I love those weekends where we can just get up, grab a cup of coffee, and do a morning show as well. So sometimes we'll be doing two shows a day too. So
those are my favorite. I think Good Morning Lambo is just my favorite.
I do my best work in the morning, bro. Like when I first wake up, again, the later the day goes, the more pissed off I get about things. You operate in business. It's like by the end of the day, I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to talk to anybody. So yeah, here we are. Right. So there you go.
Thick.
Exactly. All right. We're out, guys. Appreciate y'all hanging out with us. Hit it for me, Tim.
Those of you listening on the pod.
Thank you for making us a part of your day. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world. And go, Pat, go.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. You tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. Look at this play where we're trying to get a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.